welcome to Team Duct Tape Podcast with your hosts, Josh Espinoza and Brian Lakes.
It's July 17th, and this is episode 21 of the Team Duct Tape Gaming Podcast, where we talk about the games and geeky things we love to the people who care. That's you. I'm Josh Espinoza, and with me as always is Brian Lakes.
Hey, what's up?
We got Dom back this week, so...
Thought I'd stick around.
Yeah.
We just couldn't get rid of him.
It helps that he gives me a bed to sleep on at night.
We enjoy having him here, though. He's a lot of fun. So
except they beat me at night.
I just make you go on soda runs for me. I know how this game works. So, do you guys just want to get right into the Blizzard talk?
Let's and do it.
Get that done?
It's a Blizzard.
So, I read another article that Blizzard's still planning on releasing flying, or allowing flying, by 6.1, or with 6.1. I know that there have been a lot of talk that they haven't decided if they're going to allow it at all or, you know, what's going on with that. But I know that the last article I read, which was just a couple days ago, said that they're still planning on flying being in 6.1.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't decided if it's going to be like a gold thing that you just have to pay for or there's going to be like a quest to unlock it. I know that they're trying to, or they're wanting to not do flying. I just think that would be a big mistake, though, as far as... I think people would have too big of a cow.
It's out of the bag. They've already released flying. You can't
take it back all of a sudden.
Well, you know what? We're going to take back Hearthstone too. Walk.
Well, and that's the thing, though, is it's not just flying, either. It's flying in Burning Crusade, basically, in Outland. We flew there already. It's not like it's new.
No, and people buy all the mounts and stuff, so you can't just take... back the mounts and go, hey, you can't use them now.
Yeah.
You know, all that money you spend.
You know, all that $25 you buy for every mount that we release, you can't use them. No. You know, and who knows? You know, maybe they're just holding off until the update to let everybody get through the content. Maybe the content doesn't require flying. It could be, you know.
A lot of fast travel systems.
Could be, you know.
I don't necessarily think WoW needs to have flying, but I agree with Dom that it's already there. You can't take it away.
I agree. You can't take it away now that it's here.
So they said that they're planning on doing that in 6.1 still, so we haven't been done away with. But the few articles I did read before that were saying that, you know, they were planning on just kind of... Well, we'll not have it till 6.1, and then if nobody seems to be missing it, then maybe we just won't have it at all.
I think that would be a mistake.
Yeah, I think
you've got to have it in some place, you know.
So,
yeah. Well, next bit of Blizzard news is we finally have a release date for Naxxramas and Hearthstone. And that will be dropping July 22nd.
So next week.
Next week.
Do you have gold for your
expansion? I have enough for the first wing, 700. I have enough for that, but I don't have enough.
I wonder if they're going to make you buy the first wing, the one that you get for free.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're going to make you buy that first. Because
it says, the article I read says if you get in on the first month, you have the first wing for free.
For the first month.
After that... each wing costs $7 or 700 gold.
See, I was under the impression that the first wing was free for the first month, but then you had to buy it after the first month.
That's probably the way it is.
And so that's why I was asking, mm-hmm. if you have your 700 gold, or do you have to buy that first wing first before you can buy the second wing?
I would assume they go in a progression, though.
Right, that's how they were planning. Last I heard, they were planning on releasing it one wing a week.
But you can buy all the things, and in fact, they're giving you a discount up front. It's like you get a discount of like $2 a wing.
Yeah.
If you buy it all,
it's like $26. Yeah, and I think that's probably the route I'm going to have to go.
I'm going to probably go that way too.
Because I
just buy it all up front.
I only have enough for one wing, and it's like, well, if it's only going to buy the first wing, which I can probably say I'll get through it in the first month.
Yeah, definitely.
Then I'll just buy packs with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I'm excited for new content for Hearthstone.
It needs it. I think it really needs it. I mean, I've been playing a lot more Hearthstone these last couple weeks, at least trying to get my one daily quest done a day. And I'm still having fun with the game. It's a great game, but it needs that extra oomph.
It just needs something new. Yeah.
You know, that's the way you've got to be in card games. You can't have the same thing over and over again, or it's just going to get stale.
Yeah. So it's already stale, in my opinion.
It really needs this injection of
for
stuff.
For sure.
You know. So I think that covers Blizzard news for the week, doesn't it?
Blizzard news for the week, yep.
Yeah, so that's what we got for Blizz. So let's talk some geeky stuff.
I'm not a geek. You're a geek.
Hey. Nerds.
And
proud of it. So, first thing we had up was Magic 2015. Duels of the Planeswalkers came out and was exclusive to iPad up until today. It popped up on Steam.
Don't care.
So I went back in, you know, and I like me some Magic. I played Magic when it first came out.
Tell me you didn't buy this, Brian.
It's free to play. You don't have to buy it.
Oh, yeah,
it's
right.
Free to play.
It only costs money if you want cards.
Cards, yeah. I think it's unlocked. Yeah, it's
only if you want to play.
Only if you want to play a little bit, yeah. You know. And I'm not sure exactly. I haven't played that much to know about it, but I did look at the in-app purchases, and to buy completely, what?
Crap.
Oh, you want your Pepsi?
I do want my Pepsi.
You baby! Doesn't want to get out in front of the camera.
Well, no, okay. If I got up, it'd make a lot of noise.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm fat, and the table's on my gut, you see, so.
Name of the episode, Tables on My Gut, right there.
Alright, that works for me. I'm fat, tables on my gut.
Yeah. Okay, anyways, I looked at the in-app purchases on Magic 2015, and to unlock all the content, just the areas, it's $30.
That's so ridiculous.
$30, when in the past, the most this game has been...
is 10?
Is, I think, 15. When it had all the content, I think it was 15. But it starts off usually at $10.
Mm-hmm.
So to have all the content for $30, oh my gosh.
That's ridiculous.
And last year's on the iPad didn't even work.
Right.
It kept crashing.
Every time you tried to play it.
Every time you played it. And they didn't support it at all.
Yeah, and so it's like, well, I'm definitely not buying anything from this version.
No, I will play it as long as it's free to play. But the thing is, going from Hearthstone to Magic, oh my gosh,
Magic
is so slow.
Yeah,
that's what
I was
saying.
Like, come on, I want to play this card. Can I just do it? It's so slow compared to Hearthstone.
That's...
totally different games. You would think there would be some rollover in the two games, you know, in card games themselves. And for most part, you can find Magic-related card games all over the place. But there is nothing really like Hearthstone. You know, as fast-paced.
Yeah.
And, you know,
why do you think there are so many YouTube videos of people playing their Hearthstone versus... right now, Magic,
yeah,
because it's so slow.
It is. It's very slow, and in some ways, that's good. If you want to be very strategic and things like that, you could plan out a strategy with all card games. That's the way it is with deck building card games, I should say.
Yeah,
is you want to build a deck, you want to see how it works. You know, I'll have to play more with it to really get a good opinion of it. Like I said, I'll play with it as long as it's free to play, if I can get things like that. But if it's going to... the minute I come to a paywall, it's going to be deleted.
Right.
I'm not going to put up with that crap.
I'm not interested in paying money to them right now.
No, well, they pissed me off so bad last year when I bought that first thing that came out. And then I even bought the first two content packs, I think. And I wasn't able to use them ever because they never updated it on the iPad and never got it to work.
Right.
Crash every time.
Yeah, and see, and I remember I went back and was trying to play some Magic Online because obviously I have a crap ton of cards on
there. Yeah, ton.
And it is just so slow. And then, you know, the client, they just barely overhauled the client. It still looks like it was made in the
90s. It still looks like it was made in the 90s.
You know?
Yeah.
Bare minimum.
I can't go. The thing with Magic is the only way I can afford to play Magic is through Duels of the Planeswalkers.
Right.
I can't go on Magic Online and buy cards anymore. It's
who
just,
can?
It gets too expensive.
Yeah, who can?
Way too expensive. And in that respect, I think Hearthstone is the way to go. You earn gold. You can buy your cards that way. If you want to drop a buck on a pack of cards, you can, you know. But you don't have to pay to be competitive. And in regular Magic, you have to pay to be competitive.
Yeah, you sure do. Unless you build, like I was telling Dom earlier, you know, the only way me and DT could be competitive when we were playing like Two at a Giant is if we played some extremely annoying, very, you know...
Yeah, the Merfolk deck?
Like Merfolk.
Yeah, the Merfolk deck.
It had to be very, you know, focused and... it was very annoying to other players, and so a lot of times they would just leave.
Yeah, and then it's no fun. It becomes no fun. You want to be able to play the deck you have.
Right.
But if you don't have those type of decks, it's like you said, you can't be competitive in the game.
Right.
And say what you want. Maybe I suck at the game. I mean, I know I do. I'm not the greatest deck builder.
I think we all suck at card games.
It's one of those things.
Suck at card games. Suck at card games.
I mean, at least I like to try new things.
I was gonna say, yeah, you need to teach me then. That's basically my threshold right now. Is I'll get to 20 every month just so I can get my new
card
back.
Get your card back,
and then I'm done usually.
Yeah.
So.
And going back to the Naxxramas thing, it needs new content, and it'll be good to get that new content, that new feel for the game. And I hope what happens with Hearthstone is they make it a regular. That's one thing Magic has done right, is they make the content releases regular times during the year. You can always count on them every 3 months.
I'm not going to lie, not that I want to get back into cards or anything, but I think that was one of the most fun things that we've done as far as since we've been doing game night and stuff is when we used to go to like card drafts or Magic drafts and that sealed event we went to for one of the expansion releases. I wish... This is part of me, not that I like being social and going outside and meeting new people, but that just sounds crazy, doesn't it?
It does.
That doesn't sound like you at all.
Yeah. I can do a podcast and talk to anybody, you know, that I can't see them, but meeting new people, that's just crazy.
You're not talking to anyone, you're talking to us.
Right, right, exactly. And
we're
so,
not new people.
You're not people. But
a long time ago.
I think it'd be kind of fun to... The problem is, though, is that anything... along those lines, whether it be, you know, Warhammer or something like that, it's so expensive to get into those hobbies.
It is.
You know? And so, I don't know, maybe we just need to make a regular D&D
night. What I think needs to happen is, I think Hearthstone, the developers really need to look at what people can do with their friends.
Yeah.
And beyond that, because playing with friends right now in Hearthstone is non-existent. There's really no benefit to
you
do
can
it.
Imagine a two-on-two version.
Or a draft style.
Yeah.
Draft style Hearthstone would be amazing. Why you do an arena like
that? The arena's already
there. Why couldn't you do a tournament like that?
With your friends.
Yeah. You know?
I'm sure that stuff that they have on the table they're looking at adding.
Yeah, it's just they need to be a little bit
quicker
with the content, you know. Yeah, and that's been the problem from the beginning.
Well, that's notorious Blizzard, though.
Yeah, well, always say that, you know. They like, their alphas are other people's betas.
Right, well, their beta is like most people's release.
Hearthstone was in beta forever, and that's a lot of our problem here, is that we were playing the beta forever, and we're ready for something new.
Yeah.
It hasn't changed, exactly.
You know? And
they let everybody into that beta.
Yeah, they did. And it wasn't just they let everybody in the last month. They let everybody in for the last, like, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember when it came out, I was like, I'm done with this game.
Yeah. It's like, what are they going to add anything here?
Oh, you wiped everything? I start over? Okay. It might happen. I had everything in the beta.
So, at least, I got to give Magic props for that, is they have regular content releases. And something to look forward to.
Now, this is something Josh and I have talked about before. The other side of that coin is, I believe that Hearthstone has a much better control over their decks than Magic ever has.
Oh, yes.
Magic has always been, card comes out, it's set in stone.
Yeah.
Very rarely have they ever updated a card, and if it is updated, it's usually a community update. Well, it's usually like, hey, you can't play with this card
anymore.
Yeah,
exactly. It's banned.
If you
drop the ban hammer on
or
right
if
there.
You do, or you know what, this one thing's OP, so you can use just this one feature on it.
Like you said, that's the advantage of having a digital card game.
Yeah.
Is if something's wrong, I mean, how many times now has Unleash the Hound's been changed.
Changed, exactly. You know? I love that card. Every time they change it, you're like, damn it.
I know.
Well, when they just figured out how to make this a really effective card.
Work, and then they change it. But that's the benefits of having a digital card game.
Exactly.
You know, if it's already on cardboard, you can't change it. You can just ban it.
When they originally changed it to what we have now from the, I think it was like, give everything 1/1 or something like that in charge.
All animals 1/1 in charge.
That was just amazing. Yeah, when they changed it, I was so mad.
You'd see a hunter just getting the little ones out, 1/1, 1/1, like, oh, he's got to release the hound.
They'd wait until you had your side of the board filled, and if you'd never encountered the deck before, you're like, why isn't this guy doing anything? Yeah. And then they drop that, and you're like, I see now.
And then they dropped a hyena with it, so anything you do kill, just, hey, I get another card. All right.
Buzzard Unleash the Hounds is just mean.
It's bad. It's still mean. Yeah. You know, if it's played right. Only reason it's not now is because everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, I'll keep playing Magic, the new duels, until I hit a paywall. If I hit a paywall, I'm going to delete it.
Yeah, I'm not interested in playing another card game right now. Who has the time for that?
But they do have a new...
I need to teach you how to play poker. That's what it was.
Speaking of Warhammer, they have a 40K card game coming out this November. It's a deck-building one. So not collectible, but deck-building.
Right. Yeah, you have a couple
living,
of those.
It's their living card game. So if you want... The way they do is they do regular content releases every month. You want new cards? You go, you buy one pack, and you get all the new cards. And you build a new deck. So it's going to be cool. If you like Warhammer 40K, look into Fantasy Flight Games. I can't remember the name right off the top of my head, but look up the Warhammer 40K card game by Fantasy Flight Games.
I'm still saying we need to just start a D&D.
D&D's just so hard to do. There's so many rules to know.
Well, and stuff. There are rules to know, but you don't... And that's the great thing about D&D. You just...
Yeah, you can just go with it. I understand that. You want the good story and stuff like that. But for me, if I'm going to be DMing a game, I have to have my ducks in a row. I have to know which direction I want to take the game in.
So here's your task, Brian. You need to find us a DM. An experienced DM.
An experienced DM.
That's your job for the month.
Okay, yeah, right.
Go put out an ad, you know, start taking resumes.
Not gonna happen.
If you post on KSL, I'm sure you'll find somebody.
You can post on KSL, Craigslist.
I go back to work in 3 weeks.
In fact, I'll write this article for you, so we won't be able to decipher if it's, you know, we're looking for a GM or a... Never mind. Let's move on.
We don't need a general manager.
No, that's not what it says for a GM. Young single GM looking for other GM.
Oh, I didn't mean the M.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is what it is. Anyways, we did get some Borderlands pre-sequel news this week. There have been they've started a new developer diary on IGN and some behind the scenes with Borderlands the pre-sequel. And basically, you know, it's cool to see who's developing the game and what they're doing. Basically, Gearbox is producing the game, but 2K Australia, that developed BioShock Infinite, is doing the pre-sequel. Which is a good team. Yeah. Seems like a good team. They're communicating regularly with Gearbox over it. But the burning question I have is, why didn't you just make Borderlands 3? You know, why not make it a next-gen game? And they basically answered that question in this developer diary, and we'll leave it in the show notes so you can look it up, the link. But they said that there's still more stories to tell between Borderlands 1 and 2. There's a lot that happened right there.
Yeah.
So, you know, and call it what you will.
And they stepped out doing the Tales of the Borderlands.
Yeah, they're still doing the Tales of the Borderlands and stuff like that. But for me, it still seems like a little bit of a... What's the word? I'm a cop-out. You know, I want a Borderlands next-gen game. I want to play Borderlands on my PS4.
That's my only thing. I don't so much care about what story they're trying to tell. It's that we're not getting it on the new gen.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if it was coming to the new gen, it would have easily been a purchase for me.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. As of right now... It's probably going to be, as much as I love Borderlands, it's probably going to be something that I have to wait till there's a sale on it.
To get,
you know?
Yeah.
I want to get it when it comes out, but my computer barely handles Borderlands 2. So
I bet you'd play the next one. Just
it's supposed
I'm pretty
to be
sure
using
it's the
same
engine.
Yeah,
they even they said that in the developer diary.
Right.
That it's the same engine,
exact same engine.
And so that was their reasoning why it's not on the next gen. It's because it's the same
their player base. They say their player base is already on the 360 and the PS3, the current console. So
player base is right here on my laptop.
Yeah. It's just sad to see. I want a Borderlands for my PS4.
Well, who knows? Destiny's coming out soon.
It is. Speaking of Destiny, beta started.
It started today.
In fact, Jim just sent us beta codes.
I know, I saw that.
So, and you can enter those. You can enter that code right in on your PlayStation.
Yeah,
and it's about 13 gig download. But
I have a lot of things I'm downloading tonight, so
I'm just gonna have to put it on and put it overnight.
I'm gonna pick seven of the biggest games I can in my Steam library and download them tonight while you're doing that.
That's okay. No, in reality, we did just downgrade our internet too.
Just you just downgraded it.
Just a little bit. It's still faster than yours.
Uh-huh. That's not hard.
Of course, of course, yours is free Google Fiber.
Yeah, mine
so.
Is free Google Fiber, but there's a misconception there. Whenever you hear fiber, you think it's faster. It's not.
Well, no, that's what they're giving you.
It's like Ethernet and fiber and Wi-Fi. They're just different modes.
The free Google Fiber sucks. If you're listening, Google, your fiber sucks. Free fiber sucks.
Because if you were to pay for the higher speed, that is, I've not seen anything.
Oh, no. I'm saying if you pay for it, good. But the free crap they're giving you sucks.
No, well,
when I had AT&T, my AT&T internet was faster than Google Fiber.
But you were paying for it.
Yeah.
The difference is, that five down you're getting for free for most people. I'd say probably 75% of the people. Mm-hmm. No, 75% of people that are getting Google Fiber and they get the free, that is more than adequate.
Yeah. But for a gamer,
for someone like you
that I like to play Call of Duty online and stuff, mm-hmm. I'm lagging so bad sometimes that I'm getting shot no matter what I do.
Right. So it's not adequate for what you're trying to do with it.
I'm playing Borderlands 2 with Jim, and he's already like 2 football fields ahead of me by the time I've loaded into the game. It's ridiculous. So, but that's the thing with Google is you either have the free or you have the pay. There's nothing
in between.
There's no in between. You pay zero or you pay $70 a month.
You know, that's in reality, like when you're looking at other providers, that's the thing is it's so
70's not bad.
It's so tempting to use the free because it's free.
Yeah.
But, $70 when you compare it to other providers, especially for the speed you're getting, that is very cheap, And so I know like DT, he's getting it, and I think when he did a speed test, he was pulling like 300 down.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. I would pay $70 for 300 down.
Yeah.
If I could afford $70, I would do it. But
if your wife would let you.
But there's not going to happen. So, not going to happen. Yeah, okay, let's tell Sarah. Sarah, Josh wants to get...
We're not in Provo. If we lived in Provo, she'd let me get Google Fiber. I'm just saying.
Whatever.
Whatever.
We could do it. You don't want to do it.
Keep talking.
Well, she's not here, you see.
Oh, okay.
So I can talk big right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You
wear the pants right now.
I wear the pants in this household. She just tells me which pair to wear.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Okay, on a sadder note, this week also, developer Neversoft closed its doors.
Now, they're the ones that did Tony Hawk.
Yeah, all the Tony Hawk games.
Man,
those were good for their time,
They really were.
I had some good memories of Tony Hawk. You remember when they did the whole Pizza Hut thing and you got the free demo disc of Tony Hawk?
Yep.
We played that. Me and my wife played that forever. Hmm. Just the demo of that Tony Hawk game.
I know that on Xbox 360, and I think the other consoles, they came out with that arcade version that was a lot like the first
Tony Hawk.
But it had a lot of the maps and stuff, and I bought that. I paid the $15 I think for it, and it was a lot of fun. It was definitely worth my $15. So I really enjoyed that. It's kind of, I always hate hearing about developers closing.
Well, this is more like it's closing and being absorbed. So basically, Neversoft is being absorbed into Sledgehammer Games, which is working on the Call of Duty that's coming out this year, which is Advanced Warfare.
You know how much I love Call of Duty.
Shut up!
No, I...
And they'll be on the 3-year development cycle.
Yeah, so Brian,
there's three teams working
on it. I know you're all about the Call of Duty, and so I'm just giving you crap.
But I know.
You know me. That's just really not my game. I play with you guys because you're playing, and so I have fun when I'm playing with you guys. I think the only Call of Duty I've bought that I actually played some of it on my own was the original Black Ops.
Black Ops. That was a good game.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed playing that even by myself. But but when the second Black Ops came out, and even Ghost, I never touched it unless you guys were playing. And even when you guys were playing, a lot of times I'd rather play something else.
Yeah.
They stress me out, military games like that, because, you know, like, you fuck up and the whole team knows about it. Sorry. The whole team knows about it, that you're going to just screw up and, hey, it's all on you. You messed up, everybody knows about it, and now everybody lost because you messed up.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like a MOBA, where you can usually catch yourself pretty quick. If you screw up, you realize you screwed up, you can go in and be like, oh, man, I have to go, and I'll make up for this, and you can do it. And usually they catch up because they're a team. But, I mean, you get laid out, they get XP, they're going to get better, and it's just this big turnout. It's too stressful for me. I find games like that too stressful.
Yeah, I that was my thing, is I had to just let it go. I mean, if because I'm going to be bad. That's how it's going
to
be.
Oh, yeah. And I just have, you know, Black Ops 2, I feel like I could do pretty well at. Black Ops 1, we were great. You know, we had great games in Black Ops 1. Black Ops 2, not so much. Ghosts has not been that way at all.
Really?
It's Ghosts. I can't do anything right in Ghosts. I've had a hard time getting into Ghosts. It's just it's just not been fun getting into Ghosts. I don't know what it is, if it's the game, or maybe I'm just not into the Call of Duty right now. You know, I feel like I came into it a little too late, rather than I usually get them
too
on release.
Late.
Yeah.
Month late.
I usually get Call of Duty when it releases, you know.
I know, but you only got like a month late.
Well, I got it in December.
Yeah, you got it for Christmas. December. The console came out in November.
Yeah, but Ghost came out in... did it come out at the beginning of November? I think
the console came out in November, so it could have only been like a month.
I still felt like I've been catching up, and maybe it's like I said. I feel like I can't do anything right now. You know, they have a squad-based online part called Squads, where you can play with AI. And you make your own squad.
Yeah, we did
that.
You
do that. So I feel like that's my favorite part of the game.
Right, just playing by yourself.
The only problem with that is you can't earn any of the patches or any of the extra fun things by doing that.
Right. But you're just playing by yourself. And maybe,
I'm just playing by myself.
I wonder if maybe that's part of the internet thing, is you're always feeling like you're lagging.
Yeah.
So
I'm always dying whatever, you know, no matter what I do.
Right.
So it could be that. You know, something fun this week that I saw, you know, there was an article up with, the article I read, they had this, your favorite Doctor Who enemies, and they listed their top 10. So I was thinking, why not talk about that a little bit?
Favorite Doctor Who enemies.
I mean,
10.
This week, let's just talk about some favorite Doctor Who, maybe some favorite episodes, you know, some that the enemies appeared in.
Did you read this article, Brian?
Yes,
I did. So you looked there and you're like, I don't know who this is.
No, I knew all of them, but two.
Oh, but two?
But what's two? The Silurians, the lizard-like race.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen those guys yet. I think those were the only ones I
would have been in the
seen.
Silence.
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen The Silence yet.
No. But it just got me thinking, you know, maybe we should talk about some of our favorite Doctor Who nemesis.
So, who's your all-time favorite enemy?
The one that jumps to my mind at the front is always The Silence. They just had such a cool story and a cool theme and gig to them that the whole idea of them was just, wow, this is really good. And then the role they play in... Cover your ears, Brian.
Oh, I'm fine. I already spoiled it for myself, so...
But the role they play, not only in their story, but then they show up again towards the end of Matt's run. I really liked them. And the concept of... gotta think, just the concept of somebody like that who you can't see them, or you see them, but as soon as you look away, completely forget who they are.
Right.
Completely forget every interaction, completely forget anything.
They exist.
Anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things, you know, I've noticed the internet loves the silence.
Yeah.
They're always popping up memes and stuff for the silence. And mm-hmm. so, I would have to say they're my favorite enemy right now as well. I haven't, you know, obviously there still could be new stuff coming up, but they're so far my favorite.
Yeah, I'd have to say the two that I really liked, and the one is kind of stupid. My favorite still has to be the Daleks. I like the Daleks. They're just classic Doctor Who, you know.
They are his arch nemesis.
They're the arch nemesis. So I like them. I like getting to see inside the Daleks with mm-hmm. this current Doctor Who. You know, I remember seeing them on the old PBS runs that I'd see, you know, the classic Doctor Who, where they just have, like, the one Dalek, you know, kind of thing, because you knew it was low budget and everything.
Right.
But it was cool to get to see more of the Daleks themselves and learn more of the lore there. I just like them, just because they're the Daleks, you know. But the other one I really liked, and I can't even remember the name of the episode, and it was just one of those one-off episodes where they had that enemy that you had this group of people that was looking for the Doctor, and they got together and they just became this group of friends.
The one
guy started absorbing them all mm-hmm. all that, and you know, it had it was the one episode with Myrtle in it.
Yeah, it had Moping Myrtle.
Yeah, that
Harry
one.
Potter.
I really liked that guy. I thought it was like just this. It was just a cool, fun enemy.
Yeah, know? No, I do enjoy that episode. I actually just watched that one more mm-hmm. recently.
I really liked that episode. Yeah. So that was kind of a cool one. The other one I really want to know more about was that Midnight entity. The one where they go to the planet Midnight. They're stuck on the transport, remember? And
I know the episode, but I don't believe that ever comes up again.
Made me want to know more about that entity.
Well, yeah, because
it was on the planet, because you never get to
see it. You get this whole episode around it, but you never find out anything about it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's a good episode.
Mm-hmm. But it was a good. It was one of those that I started watching. I was like, we're going to be in this transport the whole time. But then they made a cool, you know, it was a cool story around the whole thing.
Right.
So it made me want to know more about that entity, because mm-hmm. you don't know very much about it. So
yeah. Now that we're talking about Doctor Who, let me ask you guys this. Who's your all-time favorite companion?
Hands down, Rose. I like Rose.
Rose drove me so nuts.
I loved Rose. I thought she was...
I had
amazing.
To muscle through Rose. No disrespect to
Kinky.
Rose, but I couldn't. Oh, she complained, and everything was a put off to this woman. Like, you're supposed to be a companion. You're supposed to be enjoying the mystery, the intrigue. No, she found everything to bitch about. Everything mm-hmm. was this big
I could
hassle,
see that, you know.
And I'm like, no, this you are traveling with a time traveler.
Yeah.
You're seeing the universe.
Well, I like to
mention about it.
The way the relationship evolved, where it did evolve into love between Rose and the Doctor. I really liked seeing that development. It was good to see her pop back up, even at the end of when they wrapped up season 4, and you got to see her at the very end where he comes back in time and kind of right before they met. For the first time, and
you haven't seen
stuff.
A Day of the Doctor, have you?
I'm not sure which one was that.
You haven't seen it. Then.
That's Matt Smith.
That's both of them, Tennant and Smith.
Oh, the 50th.
Was it the special?
Yeah, that's
something?
The 50th year.
Okay,
it's a 50th.
So
it's a special. Yeah, it's.
Do they have it on Netflix?
No.
Dang it!
I have it somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, it's.
Well, you'll have to find it for me.
You'll like that one because you can watch that independently of the entire series and enjoy it.
Oh, okay.
So.
The other companion I did like Donna.
I felt bad for Donna.
You know?
The way you lose, I'll be honest, the way when we lost Donna, I got a tear. Yeah, she wasn't my favorite companion.
No, she wasn't my favorite.
But at the same time, the way we lost her.
I know. She had to totally forget everything.
Yeah.
And she wanted so much to be important. And she was important, but she doesn't get to remember that.
No, not at all.
You know? And
she saved the world so many times.
They all left the doctor. And they kind of say, well, maybe she remembered it, you know, there at the end when they were wrapping up things. Mm-hmm. But the way her and the doctor parted company, it was just like a total blow off. Like,
yeah. Contract's up. We're not renewing it.
Exactly.
Sorry, you're out. Bye.
Yeah, I felt bad for her. But, sorry, before we go to least favorite, yeah. Who was your favorite?
You know, if I had to pick an all-time favorite, I would have to say Amy and Rory. Now, you haven't met them yet.
I haven't met them yet.
No. And
Can I interject? Amy and Rory? Amy by herself.
Amy and Rory.
Yeah, thank you. Amy and Rory, definitely.
Yeah. For sure, Amy and Rory. In fact, sometimes I found myself wishing Rory was with the doctor by himself a little.
I'm not going to lie. Can Rory and the doctor have an adventure? Can you just, I don't know, bake something?
Right. Go bake a souffle.
And I'm interested to see that because you really haven't had very many, and he's, I assume, a companion that sticks around for a while. Up to now, we really haven't had any male companions that have stuck around for very many episodes.
No, you're right. Rory sticks around for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
He really does. And I love Rory. He's probably one of my... He's in my top five favorite companions. But yeah, I agree with you. It's a treat. You're really going to be in for it. Now, it takes... When you meet the new doctor, you meet Amy and you meet Rory. But they swing out and then they come back to Rory later.
Okay.
So it's a lot of Amy and the doctor at the beginning, and you get this good feel for who Amy is, and then they bring Rory back in. Of course, you know, and it's like a couple minutes for Rory because they just popped off into a time machine, and then they come back, and Rory's like, "What the hell have you guys been for the last 5 minutes?" And they're like, "We've done so many things. Come with us." And so, yeah, it's a good story, but I've got to say, Clara. I really like Clara.
I really do like that. I was going to say, Clara is probably chasing Amy and Rory very closely. I would take Clara over Amy by herself.
Yeah.
Okay, so least favorite companion.
Least favorite for me.
I would have to say Martha.
Easily Martha.
Martha.
You know, not that I dislike Martha's character. I think the whole thing between how she wanted the doctor to love her so much and he wasn't interested. That whole thing just got really annoying to me.
Yeah, it did.
That got weird. It did.
Yeah. Her overall character, I didn't mind. It's just that part of it was very annoying to me, and so it ruined it for me.
The thing that I never got with Martha is she, you know, after she stopped being the companion, she went on to do other things. It became almost this, like,
at that point, I liked her.
You know,
when she quit trying to please the doctor so much.
She was okay, but with what we've seen from her up to that point, and then she left, and then when we see her again, she's just like one of the higher ups in this big organization.
Well, she ended up in the Sarah Jane Adventures.
She just didn't. I didn't feel the connection there. You know,
right? And so, she's easily my least favorite. Not that I hate her.
No, I don't hate her by any means. But yeah, she'd be probably of the companions I've seen so far, and I'm only at the end of, you know, season 4.
I think you're in for it. Mm-hmm. I was skeptical that I could like a doctor after David Tennant.
Mm-hmm.
And then you met Matt.
But Matt, they did a really good job on that first episode of bringing
me in. I'm looking
forward
to seeing it. And like I said, Steve, my son, he cried when David Tennant regenerated.
I booed like
a
girl.
You know, he just felt like... But I'm glad they gave him the chance in those last couple episodes to wrap everything up, I said. And from what you said, is they kind of cut the universe here and start fresh, right? They don't really look back.
The Doctor, they're good at doing that in the series, period. When we lost...
Eccleston?
Deathstroke. No, not Deathstroke, G.I. Joe movies, you ever see the G.I. Joe?
Yeah, it was Destro.
Yeah, Destro. Mm-hmm. That's how I always remember him. Even though he was the doctor, I'll always remember him as Destro. When we lost Destro, they were good. They wrapped it right there, and then they carried on to the...
But they still had Rose to carry on.
Yeah, because you had Rose, you carried Rose, Mickey, and all and Rose's mom.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, they all kind of carried in, and Captain Jack.
Yeah,
they carried in. Whereas once... Once you face above, spoilers! But once they brought in Matt Smith, you don't hear from any of those characters again. You know?
You don't see any more of Captain Jack.
They don't really reference back. Yeah. They don't, you know... It's kind of like they just started fresh and moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? There are a few Captain Jack moments here and there.
He doesn't ever come in.
I don't know. There was a Dalek fight, I remember, with Donna.
And Matt?
No.
Yeah, so, no, that's what I'm saying.
No,
is,
but when
once,
we hit Matt Smith.
Yeah, once we hit Matt Smith.
We hit Matt Smith, they pretty much...
Yeah, they just cut the light
that's like clean, kind of start fresh kind of
right.
thing.
Right, which is good because you have the new Doctor, and, you know, I don't think they did that with, after Eccleston to David Tennant, because I don't think they were done with
those characters. I think they were, I don't think they planned on
Eccleston leaving that fast.
No, and that was a contractual. He wasn't getting along with everybody, and and I understand. I mean, I've heard it from both. I don't know if you guys do any.
I've read some of the.
You read what he's had to say, and read what the studios had to say, and like, well, he was being a dick, and they're like, they were being assholes to me. Like, well, who's telling the truth? And, somewhere in the middle, probably. Yep.
Right, and see, when you watch the 50th. I know that the War Doctor, that was supposed to be Eccleston.
It was supposed to be Eccleston.
And I think that would have been magical.
If he would have just come in for that just little bit.
Well, it was kind of it was a pretty big part in that episode.
And it was a bad split, so.
There's a scene, it's towards the end of Matt Smith's run, when I think it's just before the 50th episode. The 50th anniversary, when they were talking about, they were starting to tease the Doctor, the War Doctor, and that's when you first get... They show a quick brief of all of the Doctors. And they got some really good stand-ins for the older Doctors. But Eccleston's character was intentionally the back of his head in the back. That's it. That's all you saw was his back.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's kind of mean. But...
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that and I was like,
I still enjoyed him as the Doctor. You know, he's not my favorite anymore. But I still enjoyed him as the Doctor.
You know, not that I disliked Eccleston, but yeah, he's easily... the bottom of my list. Now, I haven't went back and watched all the classic Doctor Who. I've tried. I can't do it.
It's hard to get into.
Right.
I've tried to. It's really hard.
So, I can only judge... I realize that he's not the first Doctor, but of the three that I watch, people get after me when I talk about it, because I'm like, well, he's my least favorite, you know, of the three Doctors. And, well, he's not the third, you know, there's more than three.
We know of the new generation of Doctors.
Of the reboot.
Yeah.
Even though just there was a long hiatus.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, not that I dislike the War Doctor, per se, but I really wish that would have been Eccleston. I think that would have been really
brought
fun.
That
would have been interesting, because, I mean, they build the War... Spoilers. They built the War Doctor as the first Doctor.
Right.
This was his original incarnation. This is how he started off.
During the Time War.
During the Time War.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's... And then, you know, he did some horrible things during the Time War. And that's what this entire series has been about. Him
redeeming himself
for the horrible, horrible things he's done. And even though they're very vague and they've recanted a lot of what the original horrible, horrible things that he did is, and they always kind of left it open to interpretation, and so they never really wanted to say, oh, you know, he's responsible for the death of his entire race, or he helped the Daleks become who they are right now. They never really said that. They just kind of implied it throughout continuing stories. This one really kind of nailed it down for you to kind of give you an idea of what's happening for it. I definitely suggest. It's a standalone. You can watch it. You can watch Tennant. Tennant's in it. Matt's in it. You can see them. That it's a standalone. Kind of pull out. Watch it. You're not going to ruin too much end of it for you.
Well, so you need to find it for me, so I can watch it.
I'd wait though until you're mostly through Matt. Honestly, not that you have to, and it's not going to spoil anything for you per se. But I would recommend.
I'm going
to
tell you this right now. If you watch it, you can tell, especially this fresh off of Tennant. You can tell there's some times that Tennant has some few problems getting back into character.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard an actual live interview with Tennant, not in his Doctor, but in his actual normal voice and everything.
He's very Scottish.
Very Scottish.
Oh,
he's
really?
Got a very Scottish brew. And it's hilarious, because every now and then you can kind of hear it creep up when he's doing the Doctor. And you're like, and maybe it's because I hadn't heard him doing it in a long time. But right off of it, I bet you'll probably notice it a little bit better.
I noticed it after watching most of the Matt Smith stuff. I was sitting there with the wife. Not that it wasn't good. I'm not saying it wasn't good at all. But I remember I turned to the wife and I was like, you can tell it's been some time since he's done this.
Back into it.
You know. And so...
He's not like Patrick Stewart, where Patrick Stewart's just Patrick Stewart.
Just
everything.
Drops it.
You know?
Just drops it. I think Patrick Stewart in the shower. Yeah.
So, we talked about our least favorites.
Okay.
Did you talk about your most favorite?
Yeah, Claire.
Mine was Rose.
Right.
Claire, we honestly don't know a lot about her. I think we've got, 12 episodes of her? Something like that?
14?
Now, she's
14.
The one that continues with Capaldi?
Yes.
She's
the seventh season companion, yeah. And then she continues with Capaldi, which I hope she stays the whole season.
I do, too. They have teased her to have this really huge impact on the Doctor's life.
Mm-hmm.
That there's two episodes in particular where they basically almost come out and tell you who she is and why she's doing it, but then they intentionally don't.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just teased her for this entire thing, and you're like, there's so much story that we're not seeing. We're seeing the tip of this iceberg on her story. And frankly, I'm really excited to see how it comes. Now, I'm saying this now, and a year from now, you'll be like, man, they suck. Her story's horrible. I'm not going to listen to it. But I will go on the record right now saying that I look forward to finding out more about her. Because it's exceedingly interesting, the storyline, that they could potentially go with this.
Yeah. And like I said,
Moffat hasn't let us down storytelling.
No, Moffat's been great. But I recently went back and started over where Claire came in season 7 because...
Yeah.
Around the time I originally watched that, we had just been powering through season after season of Doctor Who. And at the point we got to Claire, I was working a lot of overtime, and I started falling asleep through several episodes. And then we just moved to the next one. It wasn't that I wasn't interested.
Yeah,
it was literally
tired.
That I was tired. If I was sitting on the couch, I was out.
Yeah.
And so I went back, and I've been watching them, paying more attention to them, and man, they are so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited for the next season. Speaking of the next season, a rough cut of the first episode of season 8 leaked out onto the internet.
I intentionally avoided it.
I'm not going and getting it or anything, but I'm just saying it is out there.
Oh, yeah.
They're saying that it is a rough cut.
Have you at least seen his new wardrobe?
The only thing I've seen is the new trailer, the teaser.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I've seen.
Okay. His... Every doctor has their own attire and their own personality,
yeah,
their own
sure.
touches. I like this guy's. I've seen the footage. I tried to avoid information on it, but I've seen it. It's popped up already. They've already got his look, air quotes that, look set up for what he's going to be. He's rather dapper.
Yeah. And
I like it.
For me, it's a throw. It looks like a kind of a retro look for the Doctor.
Yeah.
Harkening back to when I used to see it on PBS late at night. Like the original old Doctor.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know.
I mean... Matt had his throwback. Tennant had his throwback. They both kind of done a bit of a throwback. They put their own tweaks in the bow ties, the Converse,
cool.
the Converse, and everything like that. They put their own tweaks into it. But I think this one's more of a unique look on its own, and I like it. It looks very smooth.
I can say that when you first meet Peter Capaldi after the regeneration, I was kind of nervous about it. You know,
yeah.
I remember seeing all the doctors after they regenerate, and, you know, obviously that first 5-10 seconds isn't a good indication of what their character is going to be.
No.
But
remember Matt's first 5 seconds?
He was like,
I'm just running around. Thinking.
Yeah. But I know that, that didn't really bother me with any of them, but when I first saw Capaldi... He rubbed me the wrong way, I guess, is the way I would say it. That first 5-10 seconds or whatever that you see him.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that after watching the teaser and the trailer for it, I'm in. I'm all in.
Cool.
We'll have to have parties. We'll have to come over here and watch them when they come out.
I've got
to
get through the next 2 seasons then before that happens.
Two.
You've got three.
Shut up.
Yeah, you got three, boy.
It wasn't started. You get time.
What are you doing? I think they're only got like 5, 6, 7.
Okay, yeah, they're all on there. The drawback to Netflix over Hulu though is Hulu has all the specials and they have them in place where they
go
where they belong. Yeah,
on launch.
Netflix
I noticed, especially at the end of David Tennant, because he did a bunch of specials.
Yeah.
They put those in the wrong order, in the wrong place, and they weren't all there even. And so, did they have the Planet of the Dead?
That was a good one.
That's my favorite special as far as just the TV special that David Tennant did. And it's not even on Netflix. You'll have to...
I don't think it's on Netflix.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite specials.
The Solorian, the lizard people, the lizard lady.
Yeah.
She has a very good... Madame Vastra. She has a very good... She has one or two specials. I think technically one.
She's in... Well, because she's in a lot of the Matt Smith stuff.
Yeah. But the special towards the end, I liked hers. The snowman one, when you get there.
Oh, right. Snowman. Was that a special?
No, I think that was
just an episode.
You're right.
Yeah. Hmm. That's one of Claire's...
That was the Christmas episode, wasn't it?
It's not Claire's first episode. It's her second. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because her first one's pretty early.
And it's weird.
And it's weird.
You'll miss her. You almost miss her if you don't. Like, you'll see it, and you'll go, okay.
You don't think anything of it.
And then...
Here she is coming back.
Wait, okay.
See, when I first saw her, I was very confused, because through watching Doctor Who, I had this really bad habit of going on the TARDIS wiki.
Oh, God, don't do that.
Spoiling things. And so I knew who the next companion was.
Yeah.
And I was like, there she is. Why is this... Where'd she go?
Yeah.
You know?
And see, I did the opposite. I intentionally avoided all that. So the first time I saw her, I'm like, oh, end of story, end of episode, the end. And then when she showed back up, my wife's like,
that's familiar.
And I'm looking, I was like, no. I had to hop on. I was like, that's not the same actor. Because Doctor Who, BBC, they recycle actors before to do one thing, and then they'll give it a long pause, and they'll have them come on and do something else. Yeah. It happens. And even our new Doctor has had an episode previously where he was already
the Pompeii episode.
Yeah, the Pompeii episode.
Oh, he was.
And he was the person that got saved.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so it's fine. You're okay with it. They don't have the biggest budget in the world, and you understand the production values. What the 90% of this show is shot in a quarry outside London. If you watch the backgrounds, it's always almost the same alien planet. That's a quarry in London.
Yeah, well, and like Martha, she was in the finale of Rose, when Rose got pulled into that.
Yeah.
She was one of the people working at the building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, and then I saw it and I was like, I had to pull out IMDb. I was like, it is! And then I started reading and I was like, oh, okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, cool.
And so...
Watch 3 seasons in the next 2 weeks, Brian. Do it.
Do it!
You have to do it.
I kind of want to go watch the first Matt Smith episode now, because it's good.
It is a good episode.
I really enjoy it.
And so, I'll get to watch it tomorrow.
And we'll just watch it tonight.
Okay. Deal.
Okay, podcast over.
Watching Matt Smith. Okay, so you know how we've been doing a review every week? We play a game... And stuff. Well, not every week. I guess this is technically our second time we've done it.
Right.
So, for this week, we chose to do Cthulhu Saves the World.
Now, have you played that game, Dom?
I think I own it, but I don't think I've
played it. It was one of those.
You should go play with us, because it was one of those games that you got, Cthulhu Saves the World, and their first game, which is Breath of Fire 7, for like... I think I picked them up for 98 cents.
Yeah.
You know, and I think even at full price, I think they're all of
$1.99. Cthulhu Saves the World itself on the iPad is $1.99.
All I have to say is this is well worth the price of admission.
It's hilarious. That was the first thing I will say. It is definitely a retro game.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the very early Dragon Warrior games on the NES.
Oh. I'm sold.
Yeah, the very early Dragon Warrior games, turn-based, you know, you don't even, you know, when you're fighting, you don't even see the characters on screen.
Yeah.
They have just the stiff animations the enemies do. You just see your enemies, and then when you do something, the effect goes across the screen. You know, so like a sword slash, or the healing light comes up, or something like that. But what will really sell you on this game is the textual narration that they've done is hilarious.
It is. It sits and pokes fun at itself.
Yeah.
It pokes fun at that generation of games.
Yeah.
You know, it pokes fun at
the
this generation
mythos,
of games.
Yeah, it does.
Cthulhu mythos and all that. It just pokes fun at the whole
And it's
thing.
Hilarious. They pulled it off so well.
Yeah, you know, when I first started playing, I was sitting there thinking, okay, this is going to get old if they keep doing this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As I kept playing, I was just cracking up. And I was cracking up from the beginning. I just kept thinking, you know, if this carries on like this, it's going to get old.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get old. Now, I only played about 4 or 5 hours, but it didn't get old to me.
No, I'm still not all the way through the game. I've got up to the third companion now. Mm-hmm. You get the sword guy.
The sword
kind
guy.
Of, yeah. So that's about as far as I'm at.
Yeah, in fact, I'm at the point where you get the fourth companion. Now, I know later on you get more companions than you,
you
have a team up to four.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fourth one is a necromancer, actually.
Oh, cool.
And so you found her, and, you know, I think, not that I don't want to spoil a game or anything, but... And this doesn't at all. One of my favorite features that they put into this game, when you start the game, there's a thing you can turn on. It's called commentary.
That's hilarious.
Now, what commentary mode does is it adds little question marks around the whole world.
Yeah.
And when you walk up to those question marks and you interact with them, it's the developer's commentary on
what they did with the game.
Why they did this way. The reason this happened, maybe what they were planning on doing here and why it got throughout.
One of my favorite ones of those were the first time you walk over a bridge, you know, with the background.
Oh,
and they're
right.
Like, we were disappointed to see that no reviews ever mentioned
this layer of technology for 2 months so you could walk under the bridge. And not one review mentioned it.
It was hilarious. I was just cracking up when I read it. And like you said, they poke fun at themselves the whole time during the game. But it's not only that, it's classic RPG gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
From even very first Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
You know, very reminiscent of that. Very classic RPG. It was just fun. And it's fun in the simplest of terms. You know what I'm saying? Not complex at all. You know, you find upgrades to equipment on a regular basis.
That was one thing, too, is how you build your character. Every level...
Yeah, you get perks. You get to choose
the
branch.
It's basically like a perk,
yeah.
You can go A or B, and they have different upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
You're picking how to upgrade your character.
You can make it more a magic user or a physical, you know, with weapons and stuff. Yeah, that was a really cool idea, too. That never happened in a retro RPG. It was set. You were set.
You just
leveled. The character you played. You just leveled.
If it was a mage, they did magic. If it was a warrior, they swung a sword. And they just hit harder as they leveled. In this one, you totally can pick. Do you want Cthulhu to be a magic doer or wielder? Do you want him to be physical? Same thing with your companions. You know, do you want them to be magic, physical, whatever? And it all works. And even with the spells, you get a difference in... So... On this level, you're going to get this spell that's going to blind the enemy. Well, you can pick the single one that does a little damage with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do the AoE one that doesn't have any damage to it. Or, vice versa, you can pick the one that goes... Or for a different spell, you can have one that hits one person and it doesn't cost any mana. Or one that hits all your enemies and it has some mana cost.
Yeah.
You know?
That was another cool feature, the Unite attacks.
Uh-huh.
Where you could choose it and it takes MP from all the party to use, and they do one huge attack, like release the Kraken.
Yeah.
That was a cool one. I like that one. You know, where you see the tentacles come out.
Right.
So.
And so, I mean, like I said, it's easily, I would give it, price of admission is easily worth it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Unfortunately, don't know that I'll be able to finish it.
It'll be one of those I come back to, you know, when
definitely.
I'm not. And you'll see why later. I have plenty to play right now.
I have so much to play.
I will come back to it. But it's one of those that, like you said, definitely worth the price of admission. If it's on sale, don't hesitate to grab it.
Yeah, like I said, I got that and Breath of Death. For, I think, 90 cents or something like that.
Yeah, it was 98 cents when I bought them, the 2-pack. And they're great. They're fun. If Breath of... Is it Breath of Death or Breath of Fire?
It's Breath of Fire 7.
I think. But they usually come in a two-pack. Just buy it.
Right. It's, well, Breath of Fire was their first game. Yeah. And, in fact, during Cthulhu, they referenced Breath of Fire a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you want to pick one to play first, Breath of Fire is their first one. And so, you know, some of the mechanics might be slightly different. One of the things I did like is each dungeon has a limit of how many monsters you get random attacks for.
Yeah.
So, you know, say you walk into this dungeon, it has 20 random attacks. And then once you get those 20 random attacks, you can just breeze through the dungeon.
Yeah, you don't have to sit there and fight every time you move.
Right. And so you can choose to turn them back on afterwards if you were to want to, say, grind.
Mm-hmm.
But I looked at it as, you know, I finished this dungeon, you know, like the dungeon to get the sword. I'd finished it, but I was like, well, if it thinks I should be doing 20 random battles, I ran around and did those 20 random battles because I figured
that you'd be at the right level for
right,
that
the right level to
the
move
fight.
On,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so that was kind of neat, the way they did that.
And the commentary, well worth turning on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those are fun little facts about the game to find.
Right, and I didn't have any spoilers. That's not true. Okay. The commentary will often spoil that a boss is coming.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you'll hit that, like, the one commentary that said, we found, you know, in playtesting, we found that people were having a hard time getting through this boss. And you're like,
right.
Oh, a boss is coming.
Yeah.
You know, so we decided to put a magic portal here at every,
right,
right
and so
a boss fight.
Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, will be a tell anyway.
Yeah.
Is there's a little magic portal, restore portals.
Where you can
know,
save, right, before
where
the
you
boss
can
fight.
Save. Well, you can save at any time.
Yeah.
But these, they prompt you to save, and then they restore your health, your
and
mana,
magic.
And everything. And so those are kind of a tell that a boss is coming anyway, because those will be right before the boss.
Yeah.
So.
But a fun little game, you can't go wrong for a dollar.
No, definitely not. That's one of those games that I actually wish I had it on a portable device,
yeah.
which it would be easily to have it on like a Vita.
I thought it was on the Vita, and I looked on the PlayStation Store, and it's not on the Vita.
Right.
I could have sworn it was one of the mini games on there, but it's not.
See, that's definitely a game I would finish if it was on my Vita.
You can get it on the iPad. It's on the iPad.
Very happy now.
Yeah, but you have it on Steam,
really
so why buy it now? But it is available on the iPad if you want to buy it.
How much is it on my iPad?
$1.99.
I'll think about it.
Yeah.
That's two sodas.
Yeah. And you already have
now
it
Now that
on
you
Steam.
Put it that way.
You already have it on Steam.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, that kind of wraps up our news and geeky stuff for the week. So let's ask the last question. What have you been playing this week? Josh?
Dom.
Dom goes first.
No.
Okay,
fine.
Josh,
I'll go first.
What have you been playing?
No, you know, I haven't really played a whole ton, honestly. I've been playing a lot of games the last couple weeks, and the wife and I found that really set us back on our TV shows. So we've really been trying to catch up on our TV shows this week. But I did play some games, obviously. I've been playing a lot of Clash of Clans. In fact, mine and Dom's clan is in the middle of a clan war. I did my first attack, and I failed horribly. I got 42%, not a star.
Didn't even get the base.
You know, my problem is that, you know, as far as my guild goes, I'm right at the bottom of the people that are actually in the war. And so my best chance is going to be at the opponent's bottom two people. Well, by the time I went to do my first attack, those bottom two people had already been three-starred.
Yeah.
And so no good for me. So I try my best. I still have one more attack, so hopefully I can at least get one star for the clan. Other games, yeah. Hey, I did just as good as you did on our last war, so
yeah,
just putting that out there.
I didn't even care. I was like, do it here. They're all my barbarians at the end.
I'm not even high enough to join the clan.
You're close, though, aren't you?
I'm at 550.
You're getting close.
550 trophies.
Yeah, you'll be able to get it with your level 5.
Yeah.
You'll be able to get up there. Other than that, I played quite a bit of XCOM today.
Yeah, you did.
Dom, actually, I got to the point, I guess, where Dom said it's supposed to start getting harder.
And you're like...
So I started over.
No, literally, he gets to the point. You raided the base, right?
Yep.
And he's like, whoa, everybody's cheering. You see him at the game. He's like, nope, that's the point where it gets harder.
And you're like...
And he goes... What?
Harder? That was hard enough.
It's already freaking hard.
No, it does nothing but ramp up from that point on time.
So, you know, obviously that was my first serious playthrough. I played through once and it was horrible. Dom helped me. And so this was my first real playthrough that I actually did anything on. I had a bad habit of buying things too much of something. Like, I filled all my hangers up with ships, thinking...
You bought all the ships.
So here was my thought process, as I was like, okay,
you can
well...
send them out whenever.
No, I can send them all out at the same time.
Oh,
I was thinking, so these ships are going to get bigger.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, if I happen to need 3 jets to send.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I bought... I
that
filled
makes
those
too
hangers.
Much sense. Stop it.
I filled those hangers.
Send 6 jets versus 1 UFO. That would be fun, but
right.
It doesn't work that way.
Right after I filled those hangers, guess what I unlocked? The alien ship.
the cool new ship. And
yeah,
the like,
firestorm
what do I gotta do?
Or
sell
whatever
those?
It was.
Yeah.
And so, also, you know, building my buildings, you know, in the wrong place. I built way too many satellite uplinks, and I built way too many satellites.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had all this extra that I didn't need. I built way too much power generator, or too many too fast kind of thing. And so I had no room for the other stuff. Labs
yeah.
and stuff. And so building weapons and just equipment that I didn't need. And so by the time I got to that point of the game, I had all this money and no materials to build stuff. You know, I had researched plasma weapons. I had money to build them, but none of the materials I needed.
Because they were all in the ships that he made.
Right. And so I decided to... Let's just start over. Now that I got a really good feel for the game, let's just start over.
Now, him starting over is really bad because it made me go, I'm missing some of the early achievements.
I'm going to start over.
I bet I could start over, too. But I'm thinking, because I got to the point last night, I was just bored and screwing around, and because I was getting to the point where it's almost become cruise control. I've got the last mission to go take down the end of the game, but I'm just kind of stalling because I want to level everybody up to the top level before I do that. So I'm just spinning my wheels, and I ran a mission with nothing but Enemies Unknown, the expansion for this. And
Enemy Within,
and I ran it with all my mechs. Just I put all my mechs into it.
Nice.
In 2 shivs. No humans whatsoever. Well, full humans anyways. And I beat it, and I got 2 achievements, and I was like, oh yeah, achievements. I forgot about
those.
And so I went back and looked at them. I'm at 68 of 85 right now.
Whoa.
On the achievements for this game.
Nice.
2 of them I'll probably never get because they require the multiplayer games. But the other ones I was looking through, like one of them's like make your enemy suicide, and I was like, how do I do that? I could do that. So I went and I googled that, and I was like, okay, I could do that. There's an achievement for never unlocking more than 4 squad size,
yeah.
Leaving them at
really?
4.
Really?
Gross.
And I was like, I could do that. And then there's an achievement for, like, when you crash an alien ship,
uh-huh.
for sending just 1 soldier through that.
Nice.
And I was like, I can do that one, too. So I'm like, okay, I can do that. I can do that.
What the... See,
I gotta do this.
That's the great thing about this XCOM game, is
yeah.
there's so many different ways to play it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's really golden about this game, is you can go in and do so many different things and set up so many different squads. You can set up different bases every time you play the game. It's never going to be the same way.
I know, man.
You
I
know?
Had this... I don't know what it was with this assault chick, the people with the shotguns.
Uh-huh.
I had this person with this lady with the shotgun that was sniping things with a shotgun like 10, 15 blocks away and just boom.
Like, it's a shotgun. It's not supposed to work well after 4
and
blocks.
This was happening regularly.
Yeah, but the cool thing is, I mean, you probably won't get... I mean, there's so many different alien types, too, that you can do the autopsies on
yeah.
and get the lab upgrades and stuff.
Capturing.
There's a challenge for live capturing every single alien.
Yeah, and they just can't to
be
do
captured.
That,
they can be captured.
You're like, whoa, and then well, being able to autopsy them and get their technology. And
well, and that was another thing is when I first started playing, my original playthrough, I just had the base game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I was playing it, some cell happened, and I ended up picking up the Enemies Within and the other two or three DLC, small DLC packs yeah. for cheap.
I'm not letting him play Enemies Within until he beats the first
right.
one. You're going to have too much of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you don't
right.
need to play
I wasn't planning on that anyway, but what I mean is I picked them up, and the only thing I noticed different was the different armors and skins that you could apply to your soldiers. This playthrough, very early on, I got this mission to save this guy. I had never seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. and... So, and it was cool because it gave me a really high level whatever he is.
Captain, right off the bat. Because I think, because it's random when it generates these quests. And it's the one for, it's the one that opens up two other quests later, but he picked it. And it was like the third battle you've been on.
Right.
So he got it really low. So it curbed the difficulty way down. Because usually when I get that one, it's like my 12th battle. And they just throw everything at you, and you're like, oh, damn. And you get a captain at the end of it, and you're like, well, I've already had... By the point in time, I have at least one captain, usually, when I get it. Yeah, the third go. So he's got a captain already on his nice. Third attack. So, like you said...
All my other guys, my highest guy at that point was the second rank. Mm-hmm. And I have a captain to go to
squad. Yeah.
The other reason I just love this game is, it's like I said before, it brings me back to tabletop...
Right.
Game playing. It's very much, you can picture it as a tabletop playing game.
Exactly. That, you know, that was one thing I keep telling Dom is it reminds me of playing Descent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that one day we're going to have to sit down and play that with Dom.
With
I think he'd have a blast.
Well, when Jim comes out for Comic-Con, maybe we sit down and play that. Because that'd be a good, fun D&D kind of campaign to play.
You know, and the only problem, is it's based off a D&D campaign.
Yeah.
And they just, it's D&D on training wheels is how I explain it to people.
Yeah.
And, I think that the problem is it maxes out at 5 players, so hopefully...
Well, you got the GM and stuff, so
it's
Overlord.
5, I think, total, though, so I hope somebody doesn't...
I'm sure there's rules out there that we can ramp things up. You can up the difficulty or something, you know?
We'll have to see. Yeah. But,
but it's a fun game.
Yeah, the only problem with it is it takes a long time
to
play. It's a good, you want to set aside a good, 5-6 hours.
Do it on, a weekend or something?
Yeah. In fact, when they used to come over for game night and play, we'd play until they were ready to go home, and then we'd take all these pictures so we could set it back up later.
Yeah.
You know?
Because there's no way you're leaving that game
night. There's no way with my kids. Heck no.
But
so,
getting back to the point, XCOM is very much a table. I can picture it being played on a tabletop.
In fact, I think I read that somewhere, that it was a campaign for something somewhere.
Yeah, I think it started off as a campaign for... it was an expansion booster campaign, like Warhammer. Or
right,
something
one
that.
Of those futuristic stuff.
Futuristic
Necromunda
ones.
Or something like that, yeah.
But yeah, it started out as a tabletop campaign.
It's a very fun game. So if you're looking for... there's not very many of that type of game out right now.
Yeah, in fact...
There's Jagged Alliance is the one that everybody keeps coming back to. Commandos. But they're all older games. XCOM is the newest game in a deep tactical strategy. I mean, you've got things on the PlayStation called Rainbow Moon.
Yeah.
It's like a tactical kind of RPG kind of game, but it doesn't come close to depth in the fact of XCOM.
Now,
and you say it's a new game. I think it came out, 2012, 2 years ago?
But that just tells you how little used this genre of game is.
And it's amazing when it's... one of my favorite game reviewers of all time, Yahtzee. Zero punctuation. I actually already owned the game. I got it free as some part of download, and I was just going through his library, and I saw this, and I was like, I own that game. And I downloaded it and installed it and started playing it. And afterwards, I was like, turn-based? Done. Does it perfectly. It does turn-based attacks better than I've ever seen another game do a turn-based attack. Tactical, I don't know what... Basically containing the base and managing the day-to-day of that. Just a management-type game.
Resource management.
Resource management.
Yeah.
It's one of those... I've never seen another game do that.
There's not another
one. Usually they'll tag a resource management onto another game just to give you, an extra 30 minutes of gameplay that they're going to add to this game by tagging a cheap resource manager onto it. And you're like, that was could have done without that. That was a pain in the ass. But this really, especially now that you're going to, because he's going to play a new one, but he's going to take it off training wheels, and he's going to do it at classic level.
Is that what you're going to do?
I don't know what that means.
He higher difficulty.
Higher difficulty.
Oh, right. You know, I started on normal.
Yeah, he started on normal now. Right. So he's taking the training wheels off. He's riding his bike now. And it's the money management that it really, you will spend, you'll go out there, you'll send your guys, kill guys, you get resources back. You're like, yes, I can finally resource this. It's going to take a week.
You spend as much time in this game managing your base as you do managing a battlefield.
I have literally made saves to manage my base and then done something and be like, nope, that sucked. Gone back to my other save.
Reload.
Yeah. And then tried it a different way so that I could get that right level. Because
it's a very deep game.
It's so important to have that right level done.
It is.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for a good tactical strategy RPG,
there's an Iron Man mode
for it
that I've been so tempted to play. And basically, it gets rid of save scrumming.
Uh-oh.
Gets rid of it for this game. And it's one of those, like...
So, do you get to save at all?
You do get a save.
After each battle.
After each battle.
Yeah.
That's the only save point you get, is after each battle.
Well, though, you can still go back to the previous battle.
You could go back
to... Yeah, but you have to replay the whole battle.
You have to replay everything. it's one of those just... Wow. Sorry, I know this is like the third time I've gone off on this game.
No, we've talked about this many times. That should tell everybody how good a game this is.
Yeah, in fact, if you are interested in picking it up, you can go to humblebundle.com, and as long as you donate at least $20, you will get XCOM. And not that I'm saying $20 isn't enough. Like, XCOM's not worth... Sorry. Let me start over. Not that I would say that,
XCOM itself is no worth $20. Yeah,
you'll also pick up, BioShock Infinite, the one and two, and Infinite. You'll get the Bureau. You'll get Darkness 2. You'll get Mafia 2. You'll get Spec Ops: The Line, and you actually get all the original XCOM games for at least donating $20.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of great games
for $20, people.
Right. So, other than XCOM, I did actually load up my Fallout New Vegas save again today. I played a little bit of that. I've started getting the itch to just force myself into Skyrim. The problem I've started Skyrim a few times,
mm-hmm.
2-3 hours in, and I always end up getting 2-3 hours in and saying, this is fun, but I'd really actually rather play Fallout. I would wish this was Fallout, Fallout. And so I end up going back to Fallout.
I'm telling you, Skyrim needs bats. Some kind of bat system.
I think that I'm going to just force myself to sit down and just play it and not...
There's a lot of content there.
I know, there's tons of content.
Huge game.
And so...
Somebody mapped it out.
It's humongous.
Like, it's bigger than Island of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
And like, just in game alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge game.
And
there's
so,
hundreds of hours.
I really need to just do it, but... There's just so much to play
now. There is.
As far as my gaming's gone, though, for this week, that's really it. I mentioned that I've been watching a lot of TV. Me and the wife, we had to power through a bunch of episodes of Raw and SmackDown because the pay-per-view's on Sunday. So we had to get all the, get all through those episodes so we're caught up. So we'll be watching the pay-per-view on Sunday. We've been watching a lot of the George Lopez show.
Yeah, they have.
And that's a funny show.
Funny show.
I get a kick out of that. It's not...
Did they ever change the theme music?
I went and found out. What happened...
It sounds like a porno at the beginning.
Yeah.
It does.
Now, what happened is the theme music was actually there through the entire run.
Oh, okay.
But what happened is when I can't remember who were the companies, but someone bought this show so they could play it on their channel.
Uh-huh.
But they couldn't get the rights to the song. And so they changed it when they played it on their show. And so where the person got it that I torrented them from got the first few seasons from that place, and then he got the later ones from this place.
Oh, okay.
And so about season 3... is when it started playing the original, the Lowrider song. In fact, it's kind of funny because in the middle of the second season.
So they could get Sandra Bullock on the show, but she's they couldn't get the rights to
But she's an executive producer of the show.
Oh, is she? Yeah. Okay.
And so, and her and George Lopez are really good friends, and so, okay. But they, it's funny because in the second season, they do a little intro where it's an actual live band starting to play the intro to Lowrider, and then it usually cuts into the song, the theme song, like the intro, and then it cuts in and it's the different one, and so it sounds kind of weird. So it's kind of funny that way. What else have we been watching, though? Like I said, I've been watching some Doctor Who to rewatch the seventh season. And hell, Shipping Wars and Storage Wars. Those are the other two we're getting all caught back up on.
Nice.
You know, I usually hate reality TV, but something about Storage Wars and Shipping Wars, they capture my imagination. I don't know what it is about those two shows. So, what about you guys? Who wants to go first? Don, Brian?
I saw it on sale, so I went, you know what? I think I already own this game, and I checked it out, and I do. So I went and reinstalled Dishonored.
Okay. Are you liking the game? Because I've been on the fence about buying this.
I played it. I looked back at my history. I only played this for an hour and a half. The only achievement I have is... what is it? Beat the training. Complete the intro mission.
Okay.
That's how far I'm in this game. There was I forget if I remember properly. There were some other things happening. I was like, okay, let's do this. I bought it during the winter sale last year, last Christmas. I bought it the day after before Christmas. It was super cheap, like $9.
It's $10 on Steam right now the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah, that's what I bought, was the Game of the Year edition. And so I bought it, and I got an hour into it, and something else came up, other things came up. I was like, I'll get back to it. And now I'm like, you know what? I think it's time to get back to this game. So that's what I'm going to do this week. I'm going to try and play some Dishonored and get a good feel for the game. It had has some good reviews. It has some... I've heard some fairly legitimate complaints about it. You know, normal Bethesda stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I want to play into it, wade into it, and get my feel for it. Before I just jump in and say yay or nay, so that's my next thing.
Yeah, you know, Dishonored's actually the first Bethesda game I actually got in and played all the way through.
Yeah.
And after I got a feel for, because that was one of the problems I didn't like about
Fallout 3. Didn't you finish it really fast though? Dishonored?
It's not very long.
It's not a long game.
Well, I think from what I've heard, there's several ways to play the game.
And
I played
just
like,
a run up and
kill
your ass. Yeah. Not stealthing around so much. And so that makes the game go really fast. And so I think 5 or 6 hours.
Okay.
If you play stealthy, it's going to add significant amount.
Now that
of time.
Was before it had all the DLC though, too, right?
Right. Because I played it right when it launched. Yeah, I played it right when it launched. I got it from GameFly, and I played it and I beat it. And obviously, I wasn't going to buy any DLC for it because I didn't own the game.
Yeah.
I would be interested in playing some of the DLC if I picked it up.
I've heard one of the DLCs in particular, the Witches. I think it's called.
That's the last one. Yeah.
The Brigmore Witches was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard lots of positive things about that one.
Right, and for me though, Dishonored introduced me to Bethesda style games, because when I originally sat down to try to play Fallout 3,
yeah,
you couldn't get into.
I didn't like it because I don't like first person shooters, and that's very much how it feels.
Yeah.
Now once you actually get in and play it, you can tell it's really not a first person shooter. Yeah. But this kind of introduced me to that kind style, Bethesda style. And so then it made it easier for me to go back to Fallout 3, which is one of my all-time favorite games now.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, if you play like that, where you just run up and, you know, beat people up, then you'll get through it pretty quick.
Yeah, so I have this on my wish list. I don't think I'm going to be able to pick it up right now, but definitely I think it'll come back on sale during the winter sale.
Yeah.
I'll pick it up then.
Add it to your wish list.
More than enough.
Definitely something that I'd be
interested in right now.
Okay, hey, speaking of which, real quick, I'd like to see what's on everybody's wish list. We're all sitting here. We all got Steam open. Let's open this up.
What's on the wish list?
You know, I don't think I have Steam on this computer, because this isn't a computer I normally play with. Let me see. I think I have...
You should be able to pull it off your phone.
Yeah. I think okay, I have my...
So while you do that, Mr. Brian, I'd like to know...
Okay, so my number one at the top...
Do you have a lot? Let's keep it to top five, maybe.
Okay, I have like 20 on my list, so I'll give you the top five. Top five, top one I have is Company of Heroes 2.
Okay.
Is my first one. Another one that looked fun to me was Age of Wonders 3. Then I have Total War Rome 2. The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 2.
Oh, have you seen me play that?
I have the first one.
Yeah.
And I played that, but I haven't played the second one.
I haven't played the second one either. I don't own it, but...
The first one's fun.
When I heard about the second one, it made me go back and replay the first one.
I have the first one.
It was such a weird little indie, just...
Mm-hmm.
It was so below the radar that I was like, okay, I'll check this out. It was super cheap.
I bought it when I was on the fence of Diablo 3.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was fun. It was a fun one. My fifth one I have, but I'm probably going to move that down, is Shank 2. It just looked like a fun arcade
kind
of indie title. But I really like... I want to get Saints Row 4. Is what I'm probably going to move up to my number 5.
That one, I remember buying that super cheap, I think, off the Winter Sale. I think that's what I played for instead of Dishonored. I was playing Saints Row 4. I was going through all the DLCs. Because I got like the game of the
Century. What was that? 3. I think that was 3 that was on the sale.
No.
4 is the newest.
Yeah, 4 is the newest one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody gifted me Saints Row 3 and 2. It was in a pack.
Was it?
Yeah, I haven't played. I started 3 once. I got it from Gamefly. I didn't buy it.
I should just get Saints Row 4 now. It's like $20.
And I just had a hard time getting into the over the top, because this was right around the time when I got that GTA 5 came out, and I was like, I just wanted to play GTA 5.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think I bought Saints Row 4 during the Winter Sale because it was the Game of the Millennium or Game of the Century edition.
Mm-hmm.
Then it had almost every single DLCs except for maybe some of the mall costume packs and stuff. And that's a great game. Sorry.
Yeah, Saints Row is it's its own type of game, which is a lot of fun.
For sure, and that's one that I definitely need to go back and play. Yeah. Did you get through your list?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, okay. That's my 5.
What about you?
Okay, The Wolf Among Us. I'm a big sucker for Telltale games. I really am.
I don't have that already.
Every time it comes on sale, I get the email and I'm like, oh man, I wish I had $14 or $9. I'd buy that right now. The next one I have is Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
That's a good game.
I've heard so many good things about this game.
It's a great
game. Know, it's got pirates. Who doesn't love pirates?
Naval warfare. So fun.
The next one I have is a bit of an oddball. It's called the Banner Saga, and I don't know if you...
It's another turn-based game.
Exactly, it's a turn-based strategy, mm-hmm. And I saw it, and I liked the theme of it, and I was like,
it's like Vikings, isn't
it? Exactly, it's Vikings, and I was like, okay, this looks cool, I'm going to take a look at this one. The fourth one I have is Shadowrun Returns.
I have that game. It's fun.
Is it fun?
It's fun.
I'm a good Shadowrun fan, though. You are. Every now and then it goes down to sale, like it's $9, $7, mm-hmm. And I'm like... Let's see.
With an expansion just recently. I don't have the expansion. That's also on my wish list a little further down. But the first game's really good. That's a lot of fun.
Now my fifth one, it's such a new game that I put it on there mainly so that I could remember to check it out later. It's Murdered Soul Suspect. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's been talked about a lot lately. It's got a lot of mixed reviews.
Yeah, it has.
It sounds like it has a good story.
It does. It's an interesting idea that I haven't seen a lot of other games play out on, and you get kind of the mixed review. Oh, it's a lot of the same, blah blah blah. Or you get some. This is a really cool idea, blah blah blah. So I'm waiting for it to come down. Maybe in about 6-7 months, because that's 6 to 9 months is usually when
winter
the game
sale.
Drops.
You'll see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm kind of sad. Not either of you mentioned Divinity: Original Sin.
That's on my list. It's just way down.
It's like on my 10.
I have that number one on my list. I want to buy this game so bad. Like, if I had $40 right now, that would be where I'd spend it.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, it's kind of a... If you ever played like Neverwinter Nights,
Baldur's Gate,
yeah.
it's very much like those games. And I've heard nothing but good about it. You know, I've heard a lot of my favorite viewers talk about it. I haven't heard Yahtzee talk about it yet, but some of the other people that I share, what do you call it? I guess I'm like the games that they're recommending.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Reviewers.
Review. Yeah. Well, we have the same tastes.
Yeah. I always take reviewers with a grain of salt.
Right. Well, no, see, I'm not saying they're necessarily reviewers.
Yeah.
Like, one of the podcasts I listen to, Games, they kind of just do kind of what we're doing. Just talk about games. Usually, when this one person's talking about, or when they really are excited about a game, me and them have similar tastes in games. So, if they're really excited about it, typically I'm going to enjoy that game.
Yeah.
I know that Delga's wanting to play this. He's actually...
It looks like a fun game.
He offered to buy me a copy, but I had to yell at him.
Don't.
No, yeah. I had to get after him because I was like, dude...
$50 game for me, $50 game for you.
Well, here was the deal. It's $40 for the base game. If you buy the collector's edition for $70, it gives you a bunch of DLC, but it also gives you an additional copy of the game.
Oh, does it?
And so that's what he was saying, is he's going to buy that, and then he'd give me the copy. And I was like, well, if you're going to buy it anyway, I'd definitely take it, but don't go buying it just because, you know.
Yeah. Just because.
Right. And because you got plenty to deal with right now. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from him since Monday, but anyway, moving on. The other game on my list, number two, is actually DayZ. I've seen a lot of it.
I've heard too many things about it.
I want to play it. It looks like a ton of fun. I'd rather wait till it's released officially.
Once it's out of alpha.
Yeah. Right. But I have a fear that I'm looking for more of a Fallout kind of experience with DayZ, and I know it's not that.
There's absolutely no quest in this.
Whatsoever. Right, exactly.
It's survive, not only the zombies, but the other people.
Everybody else.
Right, exactly. And I know that that's kind of what I'm looking for, and so I'm... That's another reason I'm staying away from it, you know? And so that probably won't be something I bother with until it is actually released. The number three on my list is actually South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Oh, that's a good one.
I hear a lot about it. I know it's probably right up my alley. It's just the price on it.
Yeah, we heard a lot about that at Nerdtacular.
$60 on a PC game is just kind of ridiculous to me. $50 seemed like a lot.
It's the name that's tagged with it, South Park, which means instead of it going slightly cheaper in the next 6 to 9 months, you'll probably have to wait a year.
It's going to hold on to its price.
It's going to hold on to that price for a year.
Because even during the summer sale, I think the lowest it dropped was $44.
Yeah, I think the lowest it dropped was like a 10 or 20% drop in that price.
And so, I mean, that's quite a bit still, but... that's one that I will pick up eventually.
Yeah.
The last one that I want to mention on my list, because obviously I've got some other small things, but nothing really exciting.
I'm looking at it right now, and you better say it.
Is Watch Dogs.
Okay.
Is that not it?
No, it wasn't. You have Psychonauts on your list, and the fact that you don't own this affronts me, and I'm tempted to spend the $10 to get it for you right now.
Don't do that. Wait till it goes on sale, and I'll look at picking it up.
Psychonauts is a fun game.
It was on sale.
Did you ever play it? I remember playing on the PlayStation.
I played it on Xbox.
Did you? PlayStation 2, I remember playing this game. That was where I first saw it. And that and Abe's Oddworld were like crack cocaine to me when those were out. And those were just, the lovely lady who is my wife now forbade me from ever owning those games. She's like, no. Because she heard, because Abe's Oddworld was like $9. Are you familiar with Abe's Oddworld? She heard a little quacking noise, and she comes around that corner and is like, what the hell are you playing? She's like, no, you were forbidden from playing that. You know how many fights that game started? Because you wouldn't do laundry. You wouldn't clean. You would eat when you played this game. I was like, it's a great game. But yeah.
Yeah, but, that's one that I'm planning on picking up. I put it on there so I know when it goes on sale again.
So you get the email.
Yeah. Right. Watch Dogs is one that I'm really wanting to play. I don't have the means to pick it up. And that's another one that I'm kind of shocked. It's $60 for a PC game. Usually,
it's the number one game being sold right now. It is the number one sold chart.
I understand that. And I understand that it's a great game. Everyone's been giving it great reviews. But I'm used to seeing PC games launch at $49.99.
Yeah.
You know?
And well, to be fair, honestly, when I look at Watch Dogs, I don't think PC game.
Yeah.
I think next gen console game.
That's the other thing is I, especially at $60, yeah. I'm going to buy it on my PS4.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
not going to buy it on PC. The point of buying a game on the PC for me is to get the lower price.
Yeah.
So.
Plus, you know, PCs are better.
As long as you have a better PC.
PC that can run it, yeah, unlike exactly. me. I'll have crap to run.
Other than that, you know, it's mostly little things like Tabletop Simulator, which that's mostly because of various things. Like, there's a version of Cards Against Humanity on there and stuff yeah. like that. Somebody went ahead and built all the Magic cards and put it in there, which I'm sure they'll end up getting shut down for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the problem with that game is it's all based on community.
Yeah.
You know, you get the client that runs all these community-developed games, and you just pay for the tabletop client that runs them all. Oh. It's not them making these different mm-hmm. things. And then, you know, obviously, like, I have the BioShock Infinite Season Pass, which I'm not... You know, I've seen it on sale several times, and I just don't know that I'm ready to go back to BioShock Infinite yet.
You needed a break?
Yeah.
The two new DLCs, I have to tell you, I feel the same way. I got them because when I bought the game, I bought the Season Pass. They're downloaded. They're ready to play. I just haven't jumped in yet. I'm yeah. like, I gotta give this some time. I really do. Everything has to sink in. And you were, because you never played the first one or the second one.
No, and that's another thing is I'd like to go back and play the first one, second one, they and then Infinite.
Again. Oh yeah, the first one
holds
is such
up
a great.
Still today.
Yeah.
Here was my problem when I went back to Infinite, or the first one after playing Infinite.
Yeah.
I could tell that it was going to be a good game story wise. The problem is certain mechanics that I'm used to now from Infinite aren't there.
Switching between the plasmids. And
well, no, and just
weapons.
Certain mechanics.
The weapon switching is rather clunky in the first
one. And so that was one thing that kind of turned me off right away. But it is something that that's another reason that I'm taking such a long break, so that I kind of forget about that stuff. Because I went to the first one right off of Infinite.
Okay.
So it was all fresh. You know, it's like switching from Call of Duty to what were we playing at the same time? And I kept Borderlands. Switching from Borderlands to Call of Duty, and just the controller difference.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't mean to throw that grenade, you know?
Whoops.
And so that kind of thing. And so I think after waiting or being away from Infinite long enough, then I'll be able to jump into one, and it won't even.
BioShock easily on my list is one of the best games ever.
Yeah.
The first BioShock.
It is a great game.
Yeah.
I also have Wolfenstein on here, but I don't know that I would necessarily like that so much.
Definitely a shooter.
It's a shooter.
Yeah.
It's a shooter.
I mean, I played the original
mixed
Wolfenstein.
Mixed reviews about it.
Wolfenstein, however you're saying.
Yeah. Wolfenstein.
I guess it's supposed to be German, right? So it'd be Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Whatever.
I'm just talking. I'm just talking.
Speaking of, I guess we've got to kind of wrap things up, but what I played this week, I was kind of spoiled.
Sorry, Brian, nobody likes you.
I was spoiled. It was my anniversary, so I spent some time with my wife this week, and I really didn't get to play that much, but she spoiled me.
I heard.
She spoiled me bad. I got 3 new PS4 games and a new headset, so I'm looking forward to spending some time with my PS4. So I did get Watch Dogs. On my PS4, I got Wolfenstein on my PS4.
So
Spider-Man.
What I heard is Josh is going to come over to your house.
I know. I was telling him, I'm like, well, which one are you playing first? Let me take the other one.
I'll take the one you're not using.
Yeah, I'll take the one you're not playing.
I'm playing them all at the same time. I can't decide which.
You better not trade in Watch Dogs before you borrow it. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not trading any of my PS4 games.
I was such a hoarder. Yeah, I would never trade.
You say
it
that. You
my
said
games.
That about some of your Xbox.
No,
games.
No, I'm
too.
Not. No, this. I've started fresh with the PS4. I ain't trading anything in with it because I always end up buying it again. That's the problem. So I'm saving my money and I'm not trading them in, no matter what it is. Yeah. Even if it's a crap game, I'm keeping it.
Well, after you're done with Watch Dogs, I'm next in line. Don't.
But
I don't
want to
hear about
of,
Chris having it or nothing.
I played a little bit of Watch Dogs and it's a lot of fun. It's it seems like, if I had to sum it up, it's a cross between GTA, Splinter Cell, and Assassin's Creed. All three of those games, if they all had babies together, They would have made They would have made Watch Dogs
babies.
I like the idea of making babies.
I'm all about it.
Wolfenstein. I just played through the first intro level, and it's just a shooter. It's a fun, you know, classic shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man. I got that because it's Spider-Man. It's a comic book
game. You know, it is a comic book game.
And people gave it horrible reviews, but I'm telling you, if you like comic book games, you'll pick it up and you'll have fun with it.
Yeah.
So.
And then obviously you mentioned that you finished.
And the other thing I had time to do was finish season 4 of Doctor Who.
I definitely think we need to watch the first episode of season 5.
It sounds good to me.
I'm down with it.
Let's do it. So. Okay, guys. So.
Oh, sorry. No.
Oh, we gotta share.
We got a thing.
A thing?
We got a thing.
I like where this is going.
Ended up with an extra copy of Gun Monkeys, and so I had a couple copies of, you know, BioShock 1 and 2, and I actually sent them to a different podcast to give away because I wasn't sure really how to do that, you know, exactly. And they actually gave me a good idea. So, like I said, I have an extra copy of Gun Monkeys that we're going to give away. And if you're interested in it, just go ahead and tweet me @the_SB if you're interested in getting that, and I'll send it to you.
Just randomly?
No, it's just first come, first serve. There we honestly. Go.
First person to do it gets it.
Yeah, I don't want to. That was my problem, is when I was thinking about trying to give away games at first, it was going to be, okay, well, I'll get this pool of people, and then do I have to go find something to randomly pick one, and then I got to wait till the next episode? You know what I mean? It would just be first come, first serve. So.
Okay. So if you want to reach us on Twitter, you can reach the show at @TDTGuild. Or you can email the show at show@tdtpodcast.com. You can get Josh on Twitter @@_SB. Or me @BigBossRishnak. And I think that's the show, guys.
Dom, do you have a Twitter?
I used to. No, I don't.
Okay.
I killed my Twitter. It got hacked by, like, Avon.
Oh, really?
You're the one that told
me. Avon's trying to sell you makeup.
Josh Espy goes, hey, what the hell are you doing? There's this text from him. I'm like, I don't know. What am I doing? It's like your Twitter handle's blowing up. And I looked at it, and just there's a ton of makeup and cosmetics that's blowing up. I was like, what the hell?
Your Twitter was going off. I was like, it was going crazy. But yeah,
I got to redo that.
I understand. It's hard to get into the, you know, for me even. It took me a long time to get into Twitter. But I'm really into it now.
It's one of those things that I love following people I like.
Mm-hmm. It's a good news feed.
I have nothing to say to myself about myself, though.
No, yeah. See, that's the thing is, if you go look at all my tweets, they're all responses to people I'm following. I'm not one of those people that are just tweeting about.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I'm on the toilet. It's coming out.
Yeah.
Blowing up. No, it's... Yeah, all my tweets are always responses to this. Or, hey, there's a new show out. Go check this out. You know,
that's
really the extent of my Twitter. I'm almost at 1,000 tweets, though.
Look at you. Look at you.
Nice.
Congratulations.
You get a trophy for that or something?
Yeah. I'm going to get one.
1,000 tweets.
1,000 tweets, baby.
Okay, well, I think that's the show.
All right, thank you, guys.
I don't want to go. I'm having so much fun, you guys.
But Doctor Who.
Well, we'll be back next week.